sit, I'm gonna let it play for ages. This is Inspector Zork reporting back to the Galactic Order. Unassorted facts collected from... You know what it is, right? I stumbled across this I've just finished a book called The Apes That Could Understand, The Ape That Understood Space.
Right.
And it's all about human evolution.
Okay.
So that's an education rap that talks about humans. It's like an alien's come to space and he's sending a report back.
Okay.
On what on his view on what humans are. He said they're not expected to be about for much longer. But best bit, he says, these apes sometimes choose not to reproduce. In fact, most of their time is wasted spent emanating strange noises from their faces instead of baby making. But it's really clear. Listen, if you want to teach kids...
It's definitely the state of the West at the moment.
Well, yeah. But listen, if you want to teach kids about how we all come from the same DNA, it's brilliantly educational. It's only about 4 minutes long.
Mm.
Just in case. It's called See From Space by... See From Space by Baba Brinkman. Anyway, we're back again.
Election special this time.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a lot's gone on, isn't there?
Yeah.
In the last week, we don't really talk about British politics much, do we?
Or no, Brexit, not much.
We're
no.
Trying to steer clear.
Not at all. I think Brexit's too much of a... I don't know. It's just so confusing, isn't it? And there's so little to know. There's so much to it. And there's so, I don't know, I think it's one of those things that you'll only know how it went kind of in 15, 20 years' time, you know?
Even
whether it's a good or bad thing. I think all the, like, the screaming from the sidelines either way is not really helpful.
It's like everything, isn't it? Like, well, I listened to a podcast a little while ago, I sent it to you, about this guy, and he was saying that none of us know sod all, more or less.
No.
And most of us commentators know sod all. Most of the stuff we read is biased. Bias everywhere. Very little that's written in any newspaper or news source is free of some sort of bias. And yet we talk as if we're experts on Brexit and climate change. None of us have ever read the paper.
Yeah.
And even if you read the mountains of paperwork that goes with it, we haven't studied in that area to be able to understand it and comprehend it properly. And everyone's brains works in different ways, so our biases will interpret what we read in different ways.
Yeah, of course.
There's no...
I mean, just on that note, and we're obviously going to sit with British politics and the election that went on, but just on that, it's interesting. What, about a week, 2 weeks ago, when they had that that volcano on the island, where the 50, just off New Zealand, and they've got these 50 tourists that ended up on this island, and the volcano went off, and it just got me thinking. Look, it's a simple thing. I'm not a climate change denier, but it's stuff like that really makes you think, well, so the scientists that were observing that volcano couldn't even work out that volcano was about to go off.
Yeah.
And yet we're supposed to believe that they've got an understanding of the massive complexities of climate change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not denying it. I understand there are issues. I understand there's patterns of warming and change. But it's... It's just, it reminds me of this old show I watched when I was a kid about this scientist, this woman, this old British kind of female scientist. And she told this story about how she spent a huge amount of her life's work was just on this one little bug that would position itself. I can't remember the exact details, but it positioned itself on the back of a dog's ear.
Yeah.
And basically lived off the bacteria that was in this dog's ear.
Yeah.
Right? Just this one specific strain of bug that only lived on a certain type of dog behind its ear because it was able to survive.
Yeah.
She spent a massive, like, year, I'm talking 20, 30 years of her life's work, was spent just studying that one bug
and
its development, how it got... And it just showed the complexity of life is,
no,
you can't know anything, can you? We know so little.
But then you've got to take the punt, and if a majority of
people,
then you kind of got to go. To but yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, which is why I say I'm not a denier.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I know nothing about it. I'm.
But you're saying you know nothing about it.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's so many people that have commented on it that read
claim
an article,
to know, exactly,
read an article
yeah.
they like
yeah.
the sound of, and then
bang
just
bang the table and complain the science is in, and that's it. There's no debate.
But That's what we do. That's what we do as well, isn't it? Yeah. We read articles we like the sound of, or podcasts that we like. But I don't know. I try and listen to lots of different things.
Yeah.
I do try and get my info from a broad range.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot's gone on, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Lib Dems, they cocked up, haven't they? They really cocked up. Because who was it? Because it's weird, because this whole... I think you've got to look at what happened last week and you've got to go back to Brexit. You know, I think it's hard to avoid that,
yeah,
that,
sure.
that thing. I think what happened was that there was a referendum. Many people didn't like the results of that referendum. And over time, people decided that they didn't want to respect in one way, shape or form. They didn't want to... You know, so I've said time and time again, the first time that the podcast we did was Low Information Voter Podcast, because yeah. I was so irritated by that comment, like low information voters, by people that are meant to be educated, but they've made no effort whatsoever to understand people's lives to see what might have them want to leave.
Yeah.
And they've not done that in the last 3.5 years. And that, I think, has been their major mistake.
Yeah.
Because what you've got to do, if you want to win people round, you first got to... I read a brilliant book on the book you wish your parents would have read. It's all about children.
Right, yeah.
And trying to get kids to do what you want them to do. You can't just tell them what to do. Because when they're cross, it's like lead plates go up in their ears goes in. If you want to communicate, this is what it's for adults, any relationship, if you want to communicate with people, you've got to bring that lead plate down. And if you want to bring that plate down to get them to listen, you need to understand their problem, you need to empathise, and once you understand it, then find a way of getting through to them that the solutions you think might not work. That's how you do it. But instead, they've gone down idiot, fascist, racist, All sorts of gammon, all sorts of stuff. And they have got no idea how much anger and resentment they've built up.
And we say they, but it's a chunk of people. You often get the counter argument is, oh, it's only a few weirdos on the internet, a few internet trolls. It's tons of people. I mean, it's like from politicians to radio show hosts to TV presenters to celebrities and actors and singers and
the problem with it is I doubt very much is all of those people in all those
areas.
No,
of course not.
However, the people with the opposing point of view are scared to put their opinions across.
Yeah, yeah.
Because look at the punishment you get if you come out against what that consensus is. Right? So you look at it's the same. How many celebrities did you see come out for the Conservatives?
How many?
None. You know, comedians, people said, there was that bloke who did that cracking Brexit joke once, didn't he?
Brexit Burger King.
Yeah,
Brexit,
he did a Brexit Burger King genius, analogy. Wasn't it? It's brilliant. It's only about 2 minutes long. It's funny. Yeah. Even if you
wanted... Yeah, we'll get stuck in... you and a load of mates get stuck in a Burger King. There's 7 of you. Get locked in. 4 of you want to leave. The other 3 don't want to leave. One of them says, I'll do a really good deal. Goes to the manager, comes back 3 years later. I've got a great deal. We're not going to leave, but we can say we've left the Burger King. And it's
going to cost you 30 grand.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Look, it was a witty joke. And even if you're a Remainer, you should be able to look at that and find it funny.
Yeah.
But he's really struggled getting work since.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of non-conformist comedians struggling.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I've always got to be careful with this, getting this guy's name wrong. Because I never used to have a problem getting his name wrong until he wrote an article in The Guardian saying that it's a sign of British racism because people could get my name wrong. And then now, ever since then, his name Nish Kapoor, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the fellow who was at the...
Yeah, yeah.
One of the
Lords Taverners.
Right,
and
okay,
he started telling anti-Brexit jokes.
Comedian on stage at a fundraising at charity gig. Yeah.
Started booing him, someone threw a bread roll at him. And he wrote an article in The Guardian. He's on the telly all the time.
Yeah.
He's on the MASH report, isn't he?
But that's a perfect example, they say, of someone totally in a little BBC liberal bubble that can go on and tell these jokes and everyone giggles at him. And he goes on... Yeah, Lord Taverners with a load of drunk kind of businessmen start slagging off Brexit and just gets booed and gets booed and a bit of kickback but rather than judge the room, he just doubles down, doesn't he? And just starts calling them all racist. Was it racist? It was like I thought it was quite interesting that, that he said he, one of his jokes was that how can we take we seem to want to take take pride in winning the Second World War. None of us were in the Second World War.
Yeah.
But then with the next breath, he goes on to say when it all starts kicking off, he starts talking about surrounded by a group of people in a room where most of your parents,
your ancestors,
would have invaded my country.
Yeah, or oppressed my ancestors. We're in a room where your ancestors oppressed my ancestors. You wonder why I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Funny, the
point was, why do we take credit for the world for winning the World War? None of you are in it. And then the next breath, he's doing.
You've got to take responsibility for what your ancestors did.
Well, I never took him seriously because he was in The Guardian and he wrote an article saying that this is a sign of British racism. It's like every time the BBC ring him up to give him work, they say, "Are you Nish Patel?" instead of Nish Kapoor. Right, so BBC people that are trying to get him jobs keep getting his name mixed up. So that's a reflection on British society. Anyway, right, listen, that's not what we could drift off and talk about other things and then not talk about stuff. Honestly, the Lib Dems, right?
So basically, just a summary for anyone who doesn't know, the latest latest election, the Tories, Boris Johnson, the Tories won a big majority, about 80 seats.
Yeah, no one predicted it. No. Very few people predicted it.
I think most people expected them to win, but not such a kind of landslide almost. Labour lost about 50-odd seats. Yeah. The Tories gained about 60, I think, roughly. Lib Dems, who were the anti-Brexit party, ran, Joe Swinson, the leader, ran on kind of the we will cancel Brexit ticket to a degree, didn't she?
Yeah, no, she said she was just, she wasn't even going for the second referendum, she was going to cancel it.
That got a bit kind of muddled and when she got a bit of criticism, it kind of toned it down, but essentially
she was losing massive amount of votes. So she was a Liberal Democrat, but non-democratic, because didn't want to respect the result of the referendum. They also went big on what we were talking about last time, gender. So, and then they got every time, because I follow a lot of kind of like feminists kind of on Twitter. So they were all retweeting all their interviews on Newsnight and stuff. Yeah. And they got annihilated.
Yeah.
No, Emma Barnett's brilliant. Emma Barnett, Kirsty Swart, I think. Who's the one who did Prince Andrew? What was her name?
Oh, yes, I can't remember the interview,
But yeah, blonde lady, she was brilliant. But they got annihilated because they're saying, are you seriously saying there is no biological difference to sex?
Well, she got. I was watching something yesterday and she got a call. She wasn't a very strong leader.
No.
But she got a call. She was on some radio show and some woman called up and just simple question, what is a woman? And she spent 5 minutes fumbling and mumbling and just couldn't answer the question.
No, because they don't want to go against what they've come at, and they just got wrapped up in ridiculousness.
Yeah.
It's insane. And what proportion of the population believe in that there is no, that the whole of gender is just socially constructed and there's no biological influence? Yeah. What proportion of the population believe in that?
Yeah.
I'd say low single figures, I would say. So what is the logic? But I think they got all the youngsters coming, so they've got to pander to the young. And then the other thing was, I saw one, did you see their candidate with a full face veil?
No, I didn't see
they that. Did you see that? They put up a full of a candidate with a full face veil, lady.
Yeah.
And I was there thinking, hold on, you're liberal. you're meant to be liberal. Now, a full face veil is a sign of quite stiff conservatism. That wasn't a marriage made in heaven. That didn't last long. Three guesses why that one fell apart. Anti-Semitic tweets. not long before, mountains of them. So that didn't work out. So the Lib Dems called on the election, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because you look at, what's his name? Claret Campbell, what's his name? The Tony Blair's...
Oh, Campbell. Alistair Campbell.
Alistair Campbell, yeah. He just said that he shouldn't have called the election. Yeah. He didn't want the election called because they had Boris over a barrel. He couldn't, he was like stuck, wasn't he? He was glued. And he needed someone to call an election because he didn't have the power to do it.
Yeah.
So the Lib Dems and the Scottish Nationalists broke rank and then Labour had to follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest is history.
Yeah. So now, basically, the Conservatives have got such a big majority, they don't need to, they can pretty much, he can pretty much get anything he wants through Parliament, including Brexit, in kind of whatever form he decides, really. I think it's, at the moment, he's just in such a strong position. He's such a strong leader. He's not going to have that many of his own party going against him. And even if he does, he's got such a big majority.
He can afford to do stuff. I voted Labour all my life. The last two elections, I voted Conservative because there's no way in a million years I can vote for Jeremy Corbyn. And we talk about it. I don't want to be a slagging Labour off. I've got a lot of people that really support Labour that I really respect, and I'm not. I don't want to hear gloat. I don't want to be here gloating and just rubbing people's noses in it. It must be painful. Yeah. My personal view on it was at the last election was that I voted to remain. Right, but I felt when you'd lost the referendum, you had to push it through. Yeah. It had to be done for the sake of democracy. But what I naively thought would have been better if everyone would have got together and tried to get a Brexit that they could work out. My opinion is it was a close run thing, so it shouldn't be all or nothing.
Mm.
So it should be trying to get out, but also try and stay as close as you can and negotiate that. And I see all sides. You know, my mate Dominic, who listens to the podcast, he works in science, something to do with the EU, I'm fairly sure, and GPS systems and all that sort of stuff, satellites and stuff. And he had a team photo the other day. And you look, it is proper rainbow nation. Mm. All sorts of colours, shades, genders and stuff. Well, sexes to men and women, you know. And I get it. I totally understand that people that work in that industry see the benefit of the best and brightest minds from all over the place getting together. I genuinely see it. But we've also got to see it from other people's points of view. I just don't think many people have.
No.
So I felt that as a nation, we were cycling in sand for the last three and a half, 4 years. And that just isn't sustainable. No. Business was hanging about, but how long are they going to hang about for if there's no light at the end of the tunnel? And if you had a hung parliament, then that was just going to carry on. I remember the last election, 2007, my mate Russell, who, again, is one of the people on the left that I respect massively. You know, old school kind of, not identity politics, crazy left, but like proper, you know, care for feel we need and proper safety net, stuff like that. But I remember talking to him at the school gates after the last election. And because it was a hung parliament, it was like he was over the moon because Corbyn had done better than they thought he would. And I was just thinking, yeah, but what about Brexit? Do you know what I mean? How are we gonna move forward? Yeah. You know, so I was right at that point that it was gonna stagnate stuff. To stagnate. His missus came along, Kat. She said, don't sod bloody Brexit. What about the NHS? And I thought, yeah, well, she's got a fair point as well. Yeah, you know, fair. But my issue with it was we're going to stagnate for a period of time. Yeah. And I just didn't want that again.
Yeah,
Labour weren't going to win a majority. So the option was the Conservatives being able to do the stuff that they needed to do, move forward in one way, shape or another, or years of stagnation. Yeah. And I can't bear it. Social media's been a nightmare. It's been awful. It's been absolutely awful. I've been trying to stay off it, not get involved, but I watch it, but I've tried not to get involved, which isn't easy for me. But I thought at one point what I'd do is every 10 pro-Labour, I'd kind of push back one. Yeah. And I thought, no, I'm not going to. And what I noticed is my good people that I like, Russ, Alex's cousin, just loads of people that normally are big politics were all silent.
Mm.
So I thought, out of respect to them, I don't want to wind them up.
Yeah.
But then there were other group of people that were on it 20 times a day, being absolutely, totally arsehole-y. You know, sending edited clips that makes everyone look like Boris the eugenicist, Boris the racist, Boris the... You know, you think I can't do that in relation to Jeremy Corbyn? Mm. Do you think I can't get him saying things about the IRA? Yeah. This? Do you think we can't? Yeah. I just chose not to. And then what happened was the night before, it winds me up so much, social media. I get so angry. Sometimes it causes me sleepless nights. But I can't help but look.
Yeah.
I can't help but look. And I think, has it become my kind of online dominatrix? Do I just go there just to get abused and be tortured and pay for the privilege? It's just, anyway, so the night before the election, someone had posted that I haven't seen many posters in windows.
And, for Conservatives?
Just in general. True, but yeah, I'd noticed that for ages, that there are you hardly ever see Conservative even in Conservative strongholds. And someone made them. And I think what it is that there's a social bullying, especially online, that you've got to conform with our way of thinking, because they feel like they've monopolised the moral ground.
Yeah.
So anyone who's not like them is immoral.
Mm.
So people don't want that. I think there is a price to pay. People will judge you.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever told you this story. When we got invited to a nursery Halloween thing when my kids were in nursery, right? And I knew this bloke was a Conservative councillor. And I went to his house, and I love looking at people's bookshelves. And this is when I was proper lefty, right? And I saw a book by Ayn Rand called Atlas Shrugged on their bookshelf. And I'd watched that documentary. There was a series of three documentaries on the BBC. One was on Ayn Rand, one was on Hayek, and one was on,
Friedman?
No, the one that Gordon Brown always, The Spend Man, the one you spend when you're in...
Oh, yes.
It anyway. But Ayn Rand was the free market, basically. Mm. Anything that the market should be free to do what it wants.
Yeah.
Shouldn't really be paying benefits. Shouldn't really be... Everything would take care of itself if you had a pure free market. Something that I felt was evil at the time. Mm. Now I just think it's a bit batty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as an ideology, I don't think any one ideology works without a bit of the others.
No.
But because he had... And my view on Ayn Rand was something really kind of bad.
Yeah.
I automatically assumed that those people were bad.
Mm.
Just by a book and a bookshelf.
Yeah.
And so I recognise what I see in others.
Yeah.
And then I think, no, but it's actually a historic book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I've now got left-wing friends that have got it on their bookshelf because it is a historic book. And if you want to understand different ways of thinking, you should be able to read across the board.
Yeah, of course.
But
well, that's the basics, isn't it? That's what a good education should be.
Yeah,
like so many people have said, you've got to understand the other person's argument. You've got to understand it better than them. So that's the only way to beat them, isn't it?
So,
and that's one of the problems with social media. It's this little bubble that we increasingly find ourselves in.
Yeah, because people genuinely do believe that Conservatives and Conservative voters are evil.
I think that's one of the worst things for me. I think that kind of... As though there's this automatic... Well, of course, not all of them, like everything, but there is an automatic opinion that the left care more.
Yeah.
And I just think that's nonsense. I think most people care, don't they?
Of course they do.
It's just they care about different things. I mean, someone more right-leaning, more conservative-leaning will care more about, I don't know, the traditions, which is what conservatism means, isn't it? To conserve traditions. The nation state, your family maybe more, but even like loyalty to country, but even responsibility. Maybe they look at people and think, well, what? The only way to better yourselves is to take responsibility for yourselves.
It's not
that they don't care. They just want you to do it in a certain way. And
this isn't new.
No.
Right. You read Sapiens, right? You look at the hunter-gatherer tribes. If you look at read any of them books like Tribe by Sebastian Junger, I've never spoken about, but I'd love to, because it really makes the world make sense to me, that we were all kind of hardwired to be brought up in small tribes. Only up until the vast majority of the hundreds of thousands of years humans have been on the earth, only the last 40,000 years we've kind of come out of small tribes. And then as a small, tight-knit tribe, hunter-gatherer tribe, everyone had to play a part.
Yep.
You can't carry baggage, you need to be lean. And that's why loads of skeletons they find of older people with holes in the back of their heads.
Yeah.
Like old grannies would get a rock at the back of their head once they were too slow to keep up,
as
well as kids. Yeah. So this whole, you know, I listen to loads of books on psychology or saving and all that sort of stuff. This freeloader thing it goes back, it's deep in human mind,
because you
think, hold on, we need to all be quite tight. It's only going to work if everyone pulls their weight.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is Jonathan, I don't know how many people listen to all of them or some of these podcasts will come back, but the best book, if you want to understand different political thinking, in my opinion, was The Righteous Mind, How Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion, by Jonathan Haidt. He was, I think I saw a list of 500 top world thinkers, and he was in the top five in last year's one. And he puts the five moral matrices, care and harm, which is one. Second one was fairness, stroke cheating. Now, the left think they monopolise those two. Now, every study shows that both left, right, left and right thinking mind score equally highly in those two categories.
Yeah.
It's just, as you say, they care about different things. They think fairness about different things.
Yeah.
So, you know, the left would think we've got to help the poor of the world, where the right might think, hold on, yeah, but we've got kids here that really need help. And that's a fair debate to be had. But the other three matrices, which is loyalty and betrayal, big question. So loyalty and betrayal, how do you think the Corbyns left in relation to the nation? Do they give you a feel of being loyal to the nation? Authority, do we have a respect for authority, which is the other moral matrix, and liberty and oppression, Are we big on freedom and stuff?
Yeah.
Now, the left are low on the last three in every study. So when it comes to loyalty to nation, loyalty to that group, respect for authority, the police, the army and stuff like that. You know, you look at much of the stuff that their view on British history isn't complimentary. And then liberty and oppression. The left do tend to feel that they have to manage society. That's where nanny state comes from. It doesn't come from the right. So the thing is, on those five, the left think they monopolise care and fairness. They don't. They're equal as a right-thinking mind. However, on the three, loyalty, authority and liberty, the right score really high and the left score really low. So if you want to communicate your message to a general public, the right have got five press buttons to work on, where the left have only got two press buttons to work on. And his theory is that it puts the right-wing politics at an advantage because they've got more messages that they can put out to the general public. The key part of that links to it is that out of the three political viewpoints, left thinking, right thinking and libertarian thinking, which is kind of the left are more into oppression and fairness, the right are more into conserving what we've got and not changing things too quickly. And the libertarian don't like having their arm twisted and pushed into doing things that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
So what they did was each group had to answer a list of questions, but answer it from the other two groups' point of view.
So the
right had to answer it from the left and libertarian. Yeah. The left had to answer from the right and libertarian. And the right and the libertarians had a very good understanding of the other two groups.
Yeah.
The left scored really low in understanding the other two groups. And the left are more inclined to go into bubbles. Remember after the Trump thing? Remember that Jack Dorsey was on Joe Rogan? Jack Dorsey runs Twitter. And he was saying that he was really surprised that left-wing commentators and journalists followed hardly any right-wing sources.
Yeah.
Whereas the right followed loads across the board.
Yeah.
And that's why that saying comes from, the right think that the left are wrong, the left think the right are evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're only in that bubble and you're just getting exaggerated one side of a story continuously, you build up this caricature in your head.
Yeah.
And that is bad for division and all sorts of stuff. You know, and I think the question is, does Labour know why it's lost?
I don't think they do.
I
don't think they do. With every kind of... With all of these elections and these kind of, well, from Brexit onwards, which is when we start to get interested in it, you think, oh, this will do it. They'll definitely have a bit of self-reflection. They'll definitely like try and understand.
Brexit. All Trump. Surprises. Brexit, yeah. Trump, and now this.
Yeah. And for me, but it's also stuff like the French election.
Yeah.
I mean, the French election, Macron against Le Pen. Like a third of the country voted for Le Pen.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a real wake up call. People,
should be.
Like for most people, oh no, Le Pen won it. Oh, that's a victory for liberal democracies. I'm like, Jesus Christ, 30% of your populace voted for Le Pen. That to me is a much bigger story. And you should start to reflect and ask questions about that. Because there's no way in hell that overnight 30% of your country have become racist bigots.
Yeah.
It's nonsense, isn't it?
If you're talking to someone foreign and they don't understand what you're saying, it's like, do you think of another way of getting that message through to them? Or do you just say it louder and slower? And it seems like that's what the left are doing. Yeah. They're just shouting it loud. You're thinking, hold on, but that, I think, is what's causing you problems. But then they do more of it. And you think that when you lose, you're going to drop that bit.
Yeah.
It's like, there's another book called Political Tribes by Amy Chua, and who wrote, I think she's a Harvard professor. She wrote a book called Tiger Mums. It's about Chinese, Japanese kind of women and whatever, why their children tend to do so much better because they're pushy and stuff like that. And but there's loads of books that say, look, we're hardwired to be tribal.
Mm.
Identity politics, but I think it's unhealthy. Tribalism is really unhealthy. You know, you look at African politics and stuff like that, where you've got two tribes, or the same with Shia and Sunnis in Iraq elections. You know who's going to win is the majority tribe.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's not really a proper democracy. It's not based on ideas. It's based on identity. It's not healthy. But this is what left-wing politics is now, which I find so repulsive, is that it's all about dividing people up into groups and then competing.
Yeah.
The problem with it is, and this is where I think they're going wrong massively, is that the main villain to all of those groups is the majority of people.
Yeah,
it's usually white men who are more engaged than white women.
Yeah.
So they put, you know, everywhere you go, people like me are the problem for everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to vote for someone that creates such a negative atmosphere.
Mm.
Someone said the other day on the radio, but I'd heard it before, I think someone mentioned it to James O'Brien, that this form of Marxist Corbynism, they just simply divide the world into three.
Yeah,
victims, villains, and saviours.
Yeah.
Who wants to live like that? Well, who benefits from that? What community wants to be?
But it's interesting, isn't it, that they put themselves as the saviours.
Yeah, of course
they are. Which is almost like a kind of like Jesus, saviour, God. You get so many religious connotations to all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But they've got themselves as a saviour. They're victims of these poor people.
Yeah,
I've got no agency. For the last part of the Holy Trinity is the oppressors, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it's like, well, how many times? Well, in this election, absolutely, like the victims have told them to fuck off, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
like in the north of England, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's bizarre. They. So many times it happens.
Well, you saw it, Corbyn, a little while ago, in the last election, said, oh, black people will be able to thrive under Labour. And all these successful black people are coming up saying, I'm doing all right, thanks. I don't need you to help me. It's so condescending,
isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
And so one tells people they're victims and we're the only ones that can save you from that group of bad people. You know, no wonder we're fighting against each other. No wonder we hate each other. No wonder we're going into groups. It's so negative.
Yeah.
I want someone who can say, look, we're going to put this in place so that you could get off your arse and you can thrive in that environment.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, it comes from a good place. Like we would all agree. I think that is the appeal of the left and the Labour Party. It stemmed from a good place, absolutely. Yeah. And I just think they've taken a bit of a wrong turn going down the identity politics route. But essentially, it's good. And I think that's one of the bigger differences, going back to what you just said. I still would give a lot of them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
That they are trying to make the world a better place.
I think they are,
by just pushing it too far.
Yeah.
Tory scum, like Boris, blah, blah, blah. It's like thick idiots. I don't know what they voted for. But
see that guy, that teacher?
The university teacher. Vermin.
Anyone who voted over vermin. You know, and they're teaching kids.
Yeah.
They've just taken
it to the extreme, haven't they?
I never tell my... Christian, my son, has asked about politics, because of what was going on. And he asked about Brexit. And I always give him two sides. I always give him it. Like the other day, he was saying, because one of the smarty kids was going on a school trip last year, and it was an expensive school trip. And I said, look, it's quite good that kids that might not be able to afford to go on a school trip we can find the money for them to go. And I don't mind my taxes going in for that because I think it's a good cause because you don't want them to be ostracised.
Yeah.
And he said, what's tax? I said, well, a proportion of what I earn, I have to give to the government who then dishes it out.
Mm.
He said, no, that's wrong. That's really wrong. You work hard for that money. And I said, yeah, but, you know, tax is the price we pay for civilization. You know, we need to work stuff out. Anyway, a little while later, a couple of weeks later, we were talking about what's a good job and what's a bad job. And I said, well, it depends. How do you judge it? Is it based on money? Is it based on the good that you do? I love these discussions with the little ones because it's teaching them how to think, not what to think.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many, it's so obvious people teach
And it also gets you thinking. It takes it right down to the fundamentals. And you have to like understand it from a kid's point of view.
No, when he got accused of something, I knew it was wrong, but I had to work out why it was wrong and articulate it, and it gave me a deeper understanding.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the time, we just accept a lot of this stuff, but we never get to think about it.
No, exactly, so it did make me think. And so I said, well, how are you going to judge a good job? Is it based on earnings, or is it based on the good that you do? I know he talks about, he asked if nursing was well-paid, and police, and then we came to the conclusion, he came to the conclusion, that people that do good should get paid more.
Mm.
So it's great. So I said, well, how are you going to do that if you don't want to pay any tax? And he was like, But it's good, isn't it? You know,
He went from being a like libertarian to a Corbynista in a matter of days.
But it's true when he says about Brexit. He said, is it good or bad? And I say, well, look, these people think this, those people think that.
Mm.
Unlike the arsehole who's taking his kids on a protest march, teaching a 6 and 4 year old that Brexit is racist and everyone who voted for it was racist.
Yeah.
You know, that wound me up. The problem with Labour now though is they've got no heartland left, have they? And it's not easy to win back. Well, the cities, but it's not gonna be easy to win back. You look at America.
No.
You know, the work blue collar worker used to be Democrats. Yeah. Now they're solid Republican. Yeah.
And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that, again, going back to that Goodhart book, isn't it? The somewheres and the anywheres, a lot of it stems from the fact that these people have lived in those communities all their lives. And when, strip away all the politics and all the bullshit and whether it's the media and blah, blah, blah. But if you just look at, stood Corbyn next to Boris, and you ask the majority of those people that have lived in those communities all their lives, who do you think is more patriotic? I think it's a no-brainer, isn't
it? Of course it is, yeah.
And whether it's based on bad information, and I get the point that okay, you have to speak to your enemies, and he had a reason. You're never going to get peace without speaking to the IRA. You're never going to get peace in the Middle East without speaking to Hezbollah and Hamas. But it goes deeper than that, you know, just the kind of anti-royalist thing, and okay, whether he wouldn't sing the national anthem, goes dressed up scruffy to the poppy, the wreath, the commemoration of the war. It's just this little trickle down effect, and I think most people in those communities, it's one of many other things.
I've been there, Jules. I've got a friend who works with well-known people, not going to tell you what job or anything, but it works with well-known people. A very well-known commentator who's part of an advert campaign in his election. They were travelling and he saw a George Cross in a pub.
Oh, yeah.
And he went mental.
Yeah.
Fucking, what that fucking thing up there for? I fucking hate that thing. And the guy said, yeah, but it's the Six Nations. He said, all right, okay. He said, hate that fucking flag. If we ever see a cab with that in the window, we fuck it off, me and my brother. Racist cunt.
And he's an English guy.
Oh, yeah. He's an Englishman, right? Yeah. So I know, because I've been there, that there is a proportion of the left, not all of the left, but a proportion of the left, that disdains this country. Mm. You see it. When we voted Brexit, it's all that walking off a cliff. I saw people posting articles, from the New Yorker in America, it's official, America voters are now only second stupidest voters in the world, but Britain comes top.
Yeah.
People laughing at it. You think we're going to be able to do okay without this, that, and that? Mm. I don't know, nor do you. But what you're betraying is that you've got a disdain for this place.
But then that on the left goes back generations.
Yeah.
I mean, like whether it's the close links to Russia or whatever, but Orwell picked up on this like 70, 80 years ago, whereby there are a proportion of people on the left that have a disdain for
that traditional
nation. Yeah.
Didn't he say, what did he say? They would prefer to steal from a church poor box than stand for the national anthem.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said that. Yeah. I know that what might have been something different to the national anthem, but from a poor box, definitely. So it's there. So why would you want that group of people in charge? Why would you want a group of people that hates that has no affinity to the place?
But then looking at it from a positive point of view, I think a lot of those would argue the fact they're internationalists, aren't they? They want kind of borderless. Yeah. Well, the end goal is a borderless world, and we respect everyone as we would respect our own children. But I don't think that washes with the majority of people. I can understand it as a great goal to work towards. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Harari in one of his books said that's the only way we're gonna ever get to a world that's sustainable if we have to all work together.
Yeah.
I do get that, but it's a real tough sell, isn't it, to a lot of people who are steeped in tradition, who respect their community, who respect their family, who would always treat their own kids better than they would a kid from the other side of the world.
But you know what? There were people that were genuinely, they weren't genuinely saying, they were saying on Facebook Friday morning, I genuinely don't understand, please explain. I don't believe a word of it. Mm. What they're saying is that, forget the please explain, I don't understand why everybody doesn't think like me.
Yeah,
and the reason why you don't think like you need to read stuff.
Yeah.
That isn't just your side.
Yeah.
Because there was a brilliant Morris Glassman, who's a Labour man through and through. He set up Blue Labour, more like a working class kind of part of Labour. It's really fringe. It's not really big. But he did a brilliant podcast, and he was talking about post-war relationship, Labour's relationship with the working class. Mm. Now, the original working class was and Labour was set up by rooted, communitarian, family-orientated working class people. Yeah. And then after the war, Labour kind of drifted away from that because they started to kind of sneer. And maybe it had something to do with what nationalism brought, the Second World War. And, you know, there must have been a thinking of that time that we need to try and get away from nationalism.
Yeah.
My opinion on it, nationalism, patriotism, my opinion on it is that you can have a benign form of it or a malign form of it.
Mm.
And it's when it's benign, leave it. Just leave it be.
Because
we could get behind it. You know, what that means is that people in the South who earn more are happy to contribute to a system that pays people in the North that don't earn much. Because we're a proud nation. We want the nation to be okay.
Mm.
You know, you saw Iraq, once you took away that nation, it all went into tribalism, went mental.
Yeah.
So I think you do need that. But what happened was, so what the EU, a lot of it is to try and eradicate that nationalism, patriotism, and just kind of get rid of that.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing as a result is a reaction to that. So you're seeing a more malign form of nationalism rear its ugly head.
Mm.
So I think when you try and eradicate it, you replace the benign good form for a more malign, dangerous form.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going on. So what happened was, Morris Glassman made the point that we were communitarian and rooted. Labour at that point started to sneer at that as if that was some sort of small-minded, backward-thinking, borderline racism. And then you had the encouragement, not encouragement, but we didn't want to demonise single parents. So then single parents became the thing. We had a welfare state that helped the single parents more than married couples and stuff. And you saw a massive change in single parent families in a lot of those areas, which isn't a bad thing, and those people shouldn't not be supported, but it did have a bit of an adverse effect when it came to family. You know, we all need something to feel rooted and comforted in, and when you've got more loose families, then that and kids can become a bit lost, and you see it when it comes to school results, crime, this, that, and the other. They don't tend to function so well as people in closer family ties. And then what happened was industry went, factories went, and those places were left by both Labour and Conservative. No one gave a toss about them. But then what happened was when the service industry came in, started to kick off, those people, and jobs started to come back, it was when Tony Blair and free movement had kicked in and that sort of thing. And it was like, well, you're not as good enough as
But it was also the jobs that were coming back were all in IT and they need to be reskilled and we don't need people to work with their hands. We don't need these kind of people. We don't need what you do.
Yeah. And he made the point that the one good thing about the old communist states was that what they did invest in was their people, even when they were going downhill. So, but training, those people were trained.
So they were highly skilled.
Yeah, they were just brought over, and then the other people, we don't need you, do you know, and just carry on with that. So there was anger there. And
then because first of all, you've told us our skills aren't needed anymore.
Yeah.
But then when you realise, oh, they are needed, you'll just import a load of people from somewhere else to do them because we're not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you gave a, and it didn't matter who you voted for, Labour or Conservative, things didn't change for those people. And then what happened was you gave them a referendum. Mm. And those people just want to be heard. Yeah. So they voted in a way that you didn't like. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you call them racist, small-minded idiots and gammon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they wonder why people, and then they wonder why all of a sudden this anger and resentment's building up. Because you've made no effort to listen to what their worries are. And I think, what if you don't understand, you know, and that's the thing with that Labour, they don't understand that they don't get the tradition and the family unit rootedness and stuff like that. Mm. And I don't think, if you don't understand that, it's no good just speaking what you think is important louder. Yeah. You've got to understand it or you've lost them people forever.
And you see it with the interviews since last Thursday, since the election. There's this clash within the Labour, because we talk about the left, but there's different lefts,
aren't
there?
Of course
there is, yeah. There's the whole kind of like Corbynista left, but you were just talking about Glassman, who is also of the left.
Yeah.
If not more so than most of the young people talking being interviewed on the TV nowadays, but who's got a totally different perspective of what the left was and are and need and so it's a kind of battle within, isn't it?
But this isn't just here.
No.
This is all of Western Europe. Yeah. This is America. So that the good heart point was, just to reiterate, the world is divided. It's not left and right anymore. No. You're fighting old battles. This is what I think old Labour are doing. They're fighting old battles. Yeah. It's not left and right anymore.
Yeah.
What it is the somewheres and the anywheres.
Yeah.
And did you? I sent you a podcast yesterday with the Giles Fraser one yesterday, and he's a political scientist, and he was looking at it all over Europe, and he backed up the David Goodhart argument that. Mm. You've got the anywheres, the people more internationalist mindset.
Yeah, with degrees.
They've studied degrees. Yeah, they could take their skills all over the place, and the somewheres, more rooted people that are kind of more, you know, like where they live, like their tradition, don't want to see the world changing too quickly.
Yeah.
Only one third of the people are the anywheres, and two thirds, roughly, of course there's overlaps and it's not that simple, are the somewheres.
Mm.
But all over Europe, the anywheres are taking over all of culture, all of leadership roles.
Yeah.
So the vast majority of politics is run by them. Media, you look at it, you know, it's unbelievable the amount of media and celebrities and all that sort of stuff. All one-way traffic, condescendingly talking down to the majority of people.
Yeah.
And you've seen it since then. You remember that there was that Cambridge lecturer, an Asian lady, I can't remember her name, but she was all over the papers saying that Cambridge was racist because she gets asked for her identification more than white people and stuff like that. Look, I don't know. I'm not there. Maybe she may well have a point.
Mm.
What I do know is that when you're a difficult person,
yeah.
you don't get a smooth you don't get a smooth run in life. You get difficult with people. People tend to get difficult with you back.
Yeah,
it's not anything. If I let someone across the zebra crossing with a big smile on my face, 9 times out of 10, I'll get a smile back.
Yeah.
If I have a scowl, 9 times out of 10, I'll get a scowl back.
Mm.
So you kind of make your own luck in that sense. But she was it the other day. Yeah, racist idiots. Yeah. Racist idiots.
And he
made the point, this guy yesterday made the point, that if we carry on, what he said was, we had a ruling class before, like royal families, but what we have, globalisation has created a new ruling class. So it is, you know, the Trumps, the Googles, the whoever it is. So you've got all these people that are able to solidify their position.
Yeah.
Because they're able to go to the best schools, they can move to the best houses, and those kids aren't getting pushed, they're not getting pushed out of the way and overtaken by other kids.
Mm.
So you are getting this group of people that are, that have just monopolised the top and aren't going to be shifted no matter what.
Yeah.
Now, if that group of people doesn't understand the people it's on top of,
yeah,
and simply sneers at them and thinks they're like the dirt on the bottom of their shoes, this is going to become a very dangerous way of living across the world, because that isn't sustainable.
No.
So you've got to start understanding what's going on. And I think the more you start fighting left or right, you're not understanding the enemy. Who is it? That Sun Tzu, what was it? You know, the Art of War, the Chinese thing.
Yeah.
He made the point, if you go into a battle 100 times, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you'll win 100. If you only know yourself but not the enemy, it's a toss of a coin. And if you know neither, you'll never win.
Mm.
You're not with the... I see it all the time. People haven't got a clue why this happened.
No.
They haven't got a clue. And if they don't understand it, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
You know, you and I listen to, that international dark web thing, you know, like the Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, you know, there's a group of speakers that a lot of people, YouTube stars or podcasters. I remember the BBC did a documentary. This is where people aren't getting it. The BBC, Radio 4 did a documentary on Sargon of Akkad as well, who was...
Yes.
He was... he's another YouTube man who ran for UKIP.
European elections, yeah.
And, he's quite controversial. He's the one that said to Jess Phillip, because I wouldn't rape you.
Yeah.
And they saw that as a rape threat, and his argument was, well, it wasn't, because I said I wouldn't, not I would.
And I did it in order to highlight how stupid all you people are.
It's a bit of a troll, but it's a bit tasteless, isn't it? But anyway.
But I'll get back to that in a second, because,
But so what they did was, these people were doing speaking tours, like Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, they're doing O2. Yeah. I don't think it's the whole of O2, but they're definitely pulling in 10,000. When they do a 10,000 auditorium, 10,000 people are paying 70, 80. Well, how much for the tickets? They're not cheap.
Yeah, no, expensive.
Jordan Peterson's are about 80, 90 quid, more than that, 100 quid.
Mm.
And they're for the cheapest tickets, right? So Channel 4 did a thing. They went to the pubs around there to meet the audience members. And they were flabbergasted because they thought they were going to get alt-right people.
Yeah.
And do you know what they were? To a man, ex-left voters pissed off.
Oh, wow, okay.
They're ex-left voters pissed off. They don't understand that all this nonsense that they're getting bogged down is repelling everyone apart from naive students in universities.
Yeah, yeah.
And because they're only mixing with them, that's where they think, they're on the right track.
Yeah.
But they're losing everywhere.
Yeah. Well, no, but just to go back to that Sargon of Akkad thing, and when you brought up the Jess Phillips tweet, I think that's an element. There's lots of elements of it, but another element of it, especially in social media age, is the shitposting, winding people up.
So yeah,
is a big part of it. I think there's if you go through the internet, if you go through YouTube, you go on Facebook and Twitter, there's a huge percentage of people that have really enjoyed. What do they call it? Like it's triggering the libtards, isn't it? It's like there's real enjoyment in seeing people like Owen Jones, like almost burst into tears on the Daily Show, or whatever.
Because people are so pissed off.
They don't get it. Yeah.
You don't get my anger.
No.
You don't get my anger when I'm here. You know, like I said about Brexit, I voted to remain, but my mates who work in the building trade are significantly worse off than they were 10 years ago. My mother-in-law won't let the kids play down the close where she would have let her daughters play when they were the same age, because they don't know anyone in the street anymore.
Yeah.
And this isn't paranoia,
because
Alice Gross was killed by a man who killed his wife in Slovenia in our area a few years back. Of course, I'm not saying that everyone is like that. Of course, they're not. The vast majority aren't. But it's natural to be scared of what you don't know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anyone in your street anymore, whereas before you used to.
Mm.
So all these, what they do, they other, right? Yeah. Here's a good story. I was with my mate Russ a little while back. I went around his house. He's really political, and I thought, I don't want to talk about politics. So I did well. We didn't really, because the Champions League was on, so I didn't get much of a chance. But we mentioned a bloke that he used to know, yeah, because we're from London, so we used to hang around with black kids, but he also knew racist kids and all sorts, growing up in London. And he was talking about his mate who was racist, and he'd be saying, ah, black this, black that, and Russ would say, yeah, but what about Tomo? He said, no, Tomo's all right. Don't mean Tomo. Yeah, that black this. He said, but what about Dave? He said, no, I don't mean Dave. Dave's all right, right? So what people do, they other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they create this caricature in their head,
yep.
which is a false caricature. They exaggerate an argument in their head, and that's what the other side is. So anyway, so that was amusing, because we all knew that person. And then not that long afterwards, I got talking to this really nice, a couple of weeks later, this really nice lady who started saying about how she loved the country, she'd been here all her life and this and that, but she doesn't like it now because of the turn to fascism. And I said, but you did read in The Guardian the other day that we're the least racist and most accepting country in all of Europe. I said, but I know where you're going. You're talking about Brexit, aren't you? She said, yes, yeah, shameful what happened. I said, okay, well, here's my three examples. And I gave her the example of my oldest, least racist friend, who's a painter and decorator.
Yeah.
I gave her the example of my mother-in-law, who's married to a foreign person, who married a foreign person. And the example of my dad, who's 80, who's never uttered a racist word in his life, but is big on representative democracy. And you know what she said to me? She said, no, I don't mean them. Yeah. No, I don't mean them. And it's the same. Look, I'm not comparing this lovely lady to an obnoxious racist numpty. Yeah. I'm not. But I'm just saying it's the process. It's that othering process that happens all the time. And I, it just upsets me, because that means that we always think the worst in people that aren't like us.
Yeah.
We wanted to keep it under an hour. So I just wanted to quickly talk. We mustn't. I don't want people to think that I don't care. I don't think that there are problems. I think we have got massive amounts of problems in the country.
Yeah.
Mental health, poverty, too many kids are poor. You know, too many kids aren't getting the help that they needed.
Yeah, social care for the old. Nurses. Yeah, yeah.
What is it when prisoners get out? They get parole people stuff like that. It's awful what's going on. Hmm. So I understand the desperation for people. I understand. I think that this was so that there were so many desperate people on one side and another. The relief that I've seen in people with Jeremy Corbyn getting his ass kicked is pretty amazing. I've never seen the relief like it.
Mm.
But inversely, that must mean that the sadness for people that lost must be there of course as well.
Yeah.
And I went in social media a bit on the Thursday and the Friday. And I got involved with a good mate of mine, basically saying that people don't care. If they vote Tory, they just don't care about poor kids. And my argument was, well, no, not really. It's just that I think they do care, but that they don't believe that the solutions that Corbyn gives sorts it. So you might think that he's got the answers to all your questions. I can't remember where I picked this up. It was a podcast or a book or something. I lose track. But it was talking about the history of England. The reason why we were able to do good colony-wise was that because we were an island state, we got invaded much less than other countries. And nearly every war that we had was on away territory, rarely on home territory, apart from the Vikings, the Normans and the Germans nearly. But apart from that, comparatively. So we had a rather stable environment where we could grow with politics and law, which meant that companies could come over here and thrive because there was very little interference between royal families and politics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's why this country had thrived through that, and that gave us the power to then go on and build our colonies. We didn't get rich on the back of our colonies. We were already rich, and a few families were able to become richer by doing that. Now, you don't realise, I saw the danger of
we
a government.
We got more rich off the colonies.
Yes, of course
I agree, because we were already a huge navy, we were already a successful country.
We wouldn't have been
and
able to do
that without that.
The industrial revolution came before that. So, what Labour were proposing, were taking 10% of companies and giving it to workers.
Mm.
You know, what company would want to stay?
Yeah.
What company would want to come over here?
Yeah.
And what you're doing, you're assessing that the tax take that you're going to get is assuming that all companies will carry on making the profits and not wriggle your way out of it.
Yeah.
Then throw another 58 billion, which you hadn't thought of the day before, that you're going to give to a load of people as well. Yeah. And then a few bits, and then privatise this. How much, have you incorporated all the legal challenges that's going to cost?
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't care. I just don't think that's the solution.
Yeah.
Or it could be someone who feels really strongly about anti-Semitism.
Mm.
Now, I know, I've seen good people deny that it's an issue and say to me, oh, I'd love to see the evidence. So then you send them newspaper reports and then say, oh, yeah, but you can't trust those sources. So then you give personal people, ex-Labour people, personally giving their thing. Oh, but that's just anecdotal. And it's like, no matter what evidence you want to give, they're not going to accept it. Mm. But just because you don't, doesn't mean that hasn't scared a lot of the population.
Yeah.
So they might care about poor people, but they might care about that as well.
Mm.
You know, and then the other thing, like you were saying, the patriotism and stuff. But the question is now, what I find fascinating... find fascinating is the disconnect between the Boris that side, the caricature of Boris that side have created, this monster, is a eugenicist, is a racist, is a sexist, is this, that and the other, who really hates poor and he only wants to sell the NHS to Ivana Trump or something reading, and then and really just wants to sell the country down the pan. Or, and I think the reason why those people think that is, again, they're only getting it from one source.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've read some brilliant articles about from David Goodhart in Unheard, which is a good thing to look at on Twitter, because they do brilliant articles. Unheard. He's written some brilliant articles about what he thinks is going to happen in the future, and the stuff that I've been reading in the Times. I think it's fascinating.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you look, I just saw a headline this morning about how supposedly this new Tory government has got the biggest percentage of LGBT candidates. Sure about the queers, the Qs. That's the name word.
What's the difference? Stuck on that.
Yeah, being in a queue, the same.
Yeah,
right?
But even the thing we showed last week, they couldn't agree between themselves. I don't think there is a dictionary.
But yeah, and they've got the biggest percentage in the world, supposedly. I don't know how true that is, but regardless of the fact that there's no doubt that there are a bigger amount.
Yeah.
And there are, they reckon, 13 black and Asian and people. And it's interesting. It kind of brings me back a little bit to when this all started. And it's almost as though sometimes when... You've got the two extremes and they keep on going to the extremes. But in a way, maybe it's a funny way of kind of bringing it all back to the centre a little bit. When I think there's something to be said about sometimes when the left go too far off left, some of their policies get incorporated into the other side.
Yeah.
And it's almost as though by them going too far, they drag the other side with them.
Have they obviously dragged them or just left a vacuum for it to be filled? Because that's what I suspect is maybe happening.
But you've also got the fact that...
I think they've jumped to the middle ground.
But you've also got the fact that, which is quite interesting, that it was only a couple of months ago, before Boris got into power, that every leader of every party was female.
Yeah.
Apart from
the
Labour Party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Labour Party have never had a female
leader. I think they will now.
They probably will. But again, that was Jess Phillips being interviewed.
Yeah.
And Jess Phillips turned around and said, well, maybe we should force it.
Yeah.
So the Labour Party, she's saying that the Labour Party need to force women into roles of leadership, but all the other parties
didn't
have done
need
it.
To force.
No,
it, yeah.
Exactly. The Tories have already had two.
Mm.
They'll be on to their third next. While the Labour Party is supposedly the ones of females,
and all that sort of stuff.
The ones that don't. But it's so maybe they don't need to.
Listen, I've got it wrong a lot. You know, I know. You know what trap I fell into? I never liked Theresa May ever in my life.
No.
Right? I never liked her. But when it was a choice last time, Theresa May and Boris, Brexit, in my opinion, had to be done.
Yeah.
Whether we do worse out of it, I just think it was important to do. I just thought out of the two, I thought she was more grown up. So what I did was I created a positive caricature of her.
Because
everything I wanted her to be, I made her in my head with no bloody evidence, and then end up with a kick in the nuts, right? And realise how I fell into the trap. I'm also aware that I might be doing this with Boris now. So what I'm saying is about Boris is what I suspect, not that I know.
Sure, yeah.
And also, I made the mistake with Trump, because I thought when Trump got in, he's going to rule from the centre.
Mm.
And that's where I've made the mistake, because he didn't rule from the centre.
No, he's just carried
on. I think Boris is now taking over the centre ground. From what I've read that Don Cummins, the reason why he wanted to Brexit the whole time is he was disgusted with the whole Whitehall machine. And it was, we can't pretend, all these pro-Brexit people, we can't pretend that prior to the referendum, there were no problems and all the problems have just appeared because of that. I agree you might not necessarily blame Brexit for it all, but the point of it is, I felt like a football club that you used to be a supporter, but now you're a customer.
Mm.
Do you know that feel when it, that's what I feel with pro-Brexit, we're not meant to like our own, you know, country anymore. We've got to be part of a bigger thing.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a customer. I just feel like I'm here to exist for these people. Yeah. And I think that we're so many people, we're just floating around at loss. No rootedness, no nothing. And that's what I think is causing problems. He's recognised that. And he thought, no, the only way to change things is to smash the system.
Mm.
Now, that's real revolution. Yeah. These people are talking about revolution. This could be the new revolution.
Yeah.
I'm looking now what's going on. He's in charge of what's going on up north. They're talking about totally revamping Whitehall and the whole system.
Yeah.
They've gone up. They're talking about massive amounts of spending for transport and stuff. The spending they're going to do is spending that will generate income and help business thrive. But yeah, look, so time will tell.
And again, but that again comes back to what we were talking about the caring thing. So the caring from a Tory is different to the caring from someone on the left.
Yeah.
Their caring is a version of, it's a broad thing, but build up an infrastructure and teach a man to fish.
Yeah.
Don't just give him fish.
Whereas most of it was giving stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what that 58 billion that you're going to give to the WASPI women, is that going to generate more money? But listen, they recognise that there are problems, and definitely problems. So with the other podcast I sent you the other day, it's all right saying you can pull up your bootstraps, but if you can't afford a pair of boots, there are a lot of good. So people do need help.
Hmm.
I'm hoping that this, you look at Boris as mayor. I never voted for him once as mayor, but he ruled for, he was in charge from the centre. He wanted an amnesty on immigration. He was pro-immigration.
Mm.
So he's not this bigot that so many people make out. No. In my opinion, he was one of the first conservatives about pro-gay marriage. I know that he mentioned bum boy and stuff. But that's another...
But again, a lot of that stuff is just he's got a weird kind of...
He writes satirically.
Yeah.
Now,
and that was what he did a lot of
in the Telegraph
back in the day, wasn't it? Like, a lot of these articles are like 10, 20 years old.
Yeah. But even that article, that Piccaninny Smile and Watermelon Smile and stuff, I think it's pretty atrocious because I don't think there was any need for it. However, he wasn't saying black people have got Piccaninny Smiles. It was all Tony Blair had gone off to the Congo and he was satirising Tony Blair marching into an African country like an old colonial master.
Yeah.
So expecting people to fall at his feet.
Yeah.
And what he was describing was that old colonial style cartoon.
Yeah.
With pretty vile racist imagery. So what he was doing was creating that imagery as you were reading, not saying an individual black person has got that.
Yeah, exactly.
However, if I was a black person and I read that, I'd be probably sick to my teeth. Do you know what I mean? So the point of it is, it's like that the man said yesterday on a podcast I listened to, is his dad used to say to him, listen, that man over there might be fat. But it doesn't mean you might be overweight. It doesn't mean that you should go over and say to his face that he's fat. Mm. You know, if you want to convince people, if you want to win people over, you don't insult them. And if we've been spending that, saying that's what the left do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't, we can't be blind to the right. But he never did that when he was in power. He did that when he was, when he was writing in a satirical way. And I like reading satirical writing. I like stuff that sells close to a line.
Mm.
And if you like the stuff that sells close to the line, sometimes it crosses a line. And I don't really want to live in a world where one group of people says to another group of people, you mustn't read that writing. Mm. I just don't want that. Sometimes you've got to put up with that. Difficulty of it is, that satirical writer is now in charge of a country.
Yeah.
So it's right that he gets question for it.
But again, it comes back to, or like it nearly always does, is the world we live in, isn't it?
Where yeah.
Literally now, everyone's got to be so careful because everything you've ever written yeah. or said in all your life is going to be dragged up and held against yeah. you. And that's one of the big problems with current politics.
Yeah, you can't
escape anything, yeah. any thought or anything you've ever said.
No, exactly. That's the thing. You can never forget it. That's yeah. the thing. Look, look, if you want to judge what he's written, but like the other thing, you know, what he said about, you know, gay bum boys or whatever it was, right? So he wrote that 20 odd years ago when he was having a pop at Mandelson, who got his Brazilian boyfriend able to, yeah. to go around the visa rules to get yeah. him in. And that's what he was talking about there. Mm. However, when he was mayor, he went to Pride. He was one of the first Conservatives up for same-sex marriage and stuff like that. So what are we going to do? Are we going to take something he said in relation to that and 20 years ago and say, this is the man?
Mm.
Or are we going to take what he said there in the context it was meant and these are the actions he's made yeah. and say, this is the man? All I want is an honest debate, right? What goes on is that Boris said that black people have got Piccaninny smiles. And it's like, hold on, no, he didn't say that. Look at it in the context that it was seen.
Mm.
You may well still say it's wrong. And I still think it's wrong.
Yeah.
But don't exaggerate it and make it what it actually wasn't.
Yeah.
Let's look at it at what it actually was and have a discussion and debate on what it was.
And that goes for the yeah. I know we've discussed it before, but the whole letterbox thing with the woman yeah. in Vales, that whole article yeah. and the headline of the article was it was after Denmark banned the burqa in public, yeah. wasn't it? He said, yeah. I don't think they've got it right. I think yeah. everyone has the freedom to wear whatever they want to wear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we should live in a society where women are allowed to wear whatever they want to wear.
Yeah.
I don't know why in a free society they would want a dress as letterboxes or bank robbers. And again, that's the kind of stupid satirical yeah. stuff he comes up with.
Yeah.
But they've got every right to do it.
Yeah.
So when you only drag out that part of it,
and yeah.
stick it as that's the man, he calls women. Look, but then you've got the problem of, yeah, it leads to...
If you've got a part of...
Yeah, calling, looking at women and shouting letterbox in the
right,
street.
Right, okay. You know? But on the other side of the coin, just to finish up, if you're from that community, you can understand why yeah, you would feel embattled
yeah.
by
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The other point, what you said, what everyone says, we saw a spike in racist attacks after he said that.
Hmm.
So are we now saying that the people that would abuse someone with a face veil, yeah, read the Telegraph?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So the reason why everyone knew about it is yeah. the storm that you created yeah. to create a stick to beat him with. So yeah. the only reason why the numpty on the street might know about it is because of what you kicked up. They don't yeah. read the Telegraph.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of hypocrisy. I'm aware that I might be falling into the trap of Theresa May thinking that he might be this because I want him to be. I'm desperate for this country to get out of the sand. I'm desperate for improvement. I'm desperate for people that need it to get the help. Mm. I'm hoping that we will now see, I think we're seeing a revolution in conservatism. I genuinely think that because the amount of spending is different to the small state, stuff like that. They're showing signs that it's changing.
Yeah. Coming well, they're going to have to change, aren't they? Because they've yeah. got a totally different, new
yeah.
members.
He wouldn't have done it without the blue class, blue collar or working class vote. He wouldn't have won it. There is new people now. So you either keep them and help them
yeah.
or you betray them.
Or you betray them and you're out next time.
I hope he helps them. I genuinely do. But I understand my mate Russ, when I said about Theresa May when she was on the doorstep saying, I want to help with the One Nation, this, that and the other. I said to him, what do you think about that? He said, oh, she doesn't mean it, load of bullshit. And I keep coming back to that
yeah.
comment.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Yeah.
Because it was a load of bullshit. However, was it bullshit because Brexit sucked all the air out of the room?
Well, it seems so, doesn't it?
I think that's yeah. the case. But I'm always optimistic. I always like to see the good and hope. It might be a load of old bollocks, but it might not. But time will tell. But yeah. I think it's really interesting times.
Yeah, they're interesting
and
times.
Hopefully people will accept the result now and we can kind of move on.
I always remember, look, I know we talk about politics a lot, I think about it a lot, but I always go back to something one of my friends said years ago. He said, we were talking about prime ministers, he said, oh, the best prime minister, he said, in my time was John Major. I said, why is that? He said, because he didn't do anything. I mean, as in like yeah. well, we don't need a minister, I don't yeah. do anything. So,
yeah.
and that way of thinking, it's almost, yeah, we have had 3.5 years
yeah.
of MPs banging their fists on the table about Brexit, yeah, but the country still carries on.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
everything yeah. still goes on. So maybe we give them too much credit.
It comes away at the seams in parts. Yeah, so yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. You know, so yeah. we need to get that in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, look, time will tell. And you wanted to keep it under an hour. We haven't done again.
Failed miserably.
Right, okay. All right. Have a good Christmas.
Yeah, happy everybody. Holidays all.
Yeah. And yeah, see you later. See you in the new year.